This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here's a tip from Ovechkin, and a shot here from the outside, and it's in front of a score, and Alex Ovechkin got it! The tip of the shot from the left point, the great H has 890 goals! It's 6-4, he needs 5 to pass Wayne Gretzky for the all-time record!
John Walton on Caps Radio yesterday. 9 games to get the 5 to break the record. He's got a shot to do it before the end of the regular season. Good morning. The Caps lost the game yesterday. They got drilled by Buffalo 8-5. But Ovi's goal, number 890. His scoring pace of 0.70 goals per game means we're roughly 7 to 8 games away. Just over 7 games away from the record breaker. If he stays on that pace, that would put it at home against Columbus on Sunday afternoon, April 13th, or on the road against the Islanders 2 nights later on April 15th, tax day. Denton is here with me. 2 guests on the show today. John Talti from CBSSports.com at 10:20. We'll talk the Maryland situation and also talk about the games from over the weekend. We have a Final Four. 4 number one seeds make it to San Antonio. First time that's happened since 2008, where, by the way, the Final Four was in San Antonio. Ben Standig is at the NFL owners meetings in Palm Beach. He'll join us at 12. And I will, here in just a few moments, get to more of my thoughts on Maryland being in search mode for a new basketball coach for the second time in 3 years. And I'll get to that in a few minutes. But first, Denton, let's kick it off with a what do you got? So I am interested to see what comes out of these league meetings with respect to a lot of the rules proposals, including seeding in the NFL playoffs. We'll see if somehow that gets put on the vote docket. Imagine, you know, being a division champion with, say, a 7-10 or an 8-9 record and you don't get a home game. I think that's right. I think that's what they should be doing. Again, I think the teams qualifying for the playoffs should qualify the same way. 4 division winners, 3 wild cards in each conference. But I then think they should be seeded based on record. But what is getting the most attention is the tush push. The tush push, according to ESPN, banning it, which was the Packers' proposal, has support within the competition committee. Apparently yesterday they have a meeting in which the league office staff presents the rules proposals that they're going to discuss in the upcoming week. And during this meeting, things got heated. They got heated between Howie Roseman, general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, and then there were coaches like Sean McDermott and Sean McVay. The conversations were discussed as outside of the hallway, private but animated. about the Packers' proposal. Green Bay listed two reasons for its proposal to ban the tush push, player safety being one, pace of play being the other. Multiple sources tell ESPN that there's been no injury data to support the ban, but rather a hypothetical conversation centered on potential injuries. And I think it's based on what Frankie Louvu did in the NFC Championship game with defensive players jumping. That is also a pace of play issue, but jumping head first over the line of scrimmage. That is a risk, as is, according to the Packers, again, with no real data to support it, offensive linemen, because of their bent posture, operating in a very narrow window, which could lead to neck injuries. Could. It's not backed by data, one club executive said. It was all subjective. Another source in the competition committee meeting said that it's not about player safety. It's just a different play, and it looks different. Now, the play was run 101 times last year of the 35,415 plays run. So 0.28% of the plays run were tush pushes, and almost all of them were by Philadelphia or Buffalo. And Atlanta Falcons CEO and competition committee chair Rich McKay said, quote, "The thing that nobody likes about the discussion we are having and the question being asked is that the rule is directed towards two teams. We have rules that come in about some play or some tactic or something that was never contemplated and all of a sudden was introduced, and there is a rule put up to say maybe we shouldn't have that tactic or that play. So I don't think any of us like the fact that there are teams associated with this rule proposal," meaning the Bills and the Eagles. I hope it passes. To me, it's not about Philadelphia specifically or Buffalo specifically, even though it looks like a place of pettiness from where I and any other team in the NFC East is coming from. It really isn't. For me, it is a play that doesn't look like a football play. It is a pace of play issue. I will say this too, and I've said this before, and Denton and I talked about it after the NFC Championship game. If you're going to continue to allow this play to be a legal play, you cannot limit a defense's creativity in trying to stop it. Even if that means timing on consecutive plays in a goal-to-go situation over and over and over again, trying to time it to stop it by jumping over the pile. The idea that a touchdown was on the verge of being awarded because the defense was trying to stop the other team from scoring is absurd. If you're going to allow the play to continue, and by the way, I've mentioned this many times, it's not always about the play on fourth and one or fourth and less than one. Philadelphia runs it and considers running it on third down and two. If you like to see third and two and a half, tush push, tush push, I don't like it. Okay, that's a subjective thing. I don't like to watch it. I don't think it looks like football. But you certainly, if you are going to keep it in play, you cannot limit a defense being creative or even being high risk in its attempt to stop it. That's ridiculous. That reeks of one-sided proposal snatching. You know, like, we like Philadelphia making it. We don't like defenses stopping it. We love to watch Josh Allen take it on fourth and one and get some help and push it through. This is going to be really interesting tomorrow morning to see if it passes in the competition committee, which then it would have to pass 24 of the 32 owners after that. Lots of things going on at the owners' meetings this week. Ben Standing will join us at 12 with more on all of that. Adam Peters is scheduled to speak this morning as well, so we will hopefully have some of that sound a little bit later on. All right, so Kevin Willard did leave, as expected. I had so many of you saying, "God, you're talking about this as if it's over. you're going to look really stupid if it doesn't happen. Well, I did preface with, we have a chance of looking dumb if he decides and changes his mind and comes back. But it was always, you know, a really strong possibility, highly, highly likely, which is why we had the conversations accordingly. So, look, his exit was messy, no doubt, no doubt. In my opinion, while there is no easy way to leave, and any departure would have been met with, especially from this fan base, with, you know, a vicious traitor kind of response, Kevin's exit in particular was marked with too much information from him that ironically actually may lead to a better situation for the next coach that replaces him. More on that in a moment. But it tarnished him in the process. There's no way to get away from that. It's true. Bottom line is, it didn't appear when he said to me on this show a week ago to Tuesday, tomorrow, and you know at various other times, that if he got what he needed from Maryland to put the program in position to competing at the highest levels of the sport, he would stay. You know, it certainly turns out that he didn't stay because Maryland responded to his public outing of the athletic department and the school's support of basketball with, according to the school, and I've talked about this last week, all of my sources had told me the same thing, that they gave him everything he wanted, you know, increased compensation, increased rev share numbers to pay players, you know, a focus on basketball and an understanding. It's amazing that it's taken this long for people inside that university when anybody with a half a brain paying attention has known this for their entire lifetime, that Maryland and the fans have a passion for basketball more than any other sport. All right. And the chances of it winning a national championship and competing consistently at the highest levels of the sport are much greater in men's basketball than they are in football. But Maryland, according to the school, when they put out a press release about this, but we knew it last week, they came to the table with everything Kevin asked for. Now, the one thing they could not give him, because it takes time, is an AD, an athletic director. You know, we didn't know, you know, who that athletic director that will replace Damon Evans is. So they couldn't give him any comfort there, but what I was told is that they promised him that the new hire would be more basketball friendly, for the lack of a better description, than what the school has had in recent years. So, he's gone. The exit wasn't pretty. That's now over. And now, it's time for Maryland to get things right. Because a few things in this moment, for you people that care about this, and I know it's not everybody, so bear with me. But if you're like me, and I know many of you are, that you love Maryland basketball, you love Maryland, period. A few things are true at the same time. I think a lot of people in our fan base have overlooked this. One, yes, the exit was messy. But two, and this is much more important, he's now the second consecutive good basketball coach that has said, I don't like this place, I want out. Mark Turgeon was fed up with it. Kevin Willard wasn't thrilled here either. Now, for Kevin, there may have been other reasons, including some personal reasons, why he wanted out. But a big part of it was what he said a week ago Thursday. The commitment has to be greater if you want to compete at the highest levels of this sport. I thought of something over the weekend, and it is a story that I was involved in. So bear with me, but I think it's applicable here because it just reminded me of what I'm going to say about where Maryland is right now. So about roughly 10 years ago, I had Mike Shanahan. Tommy and I had Mike Shanahan on our radio show. It was Mike's first public interview after being fired about a year and a half earlier, whatever it was at that point. So it was late 2014, early 2015, something like that. And the team was not happy, Denton. They were not happy that I booked Mike to come on the show, where he aired out a lot of things during that interview. He was on with us for like an hour that day, and it got a lot of attention, not just here, but throughout NFL circles. And they were not happy that I put him on the show. Well, there are two things at work. Number one is that was, and I've talked about this before, but that was kind of the beginning of the time frame in which literally people out there were trying to sabotage the station. They were giving the head coach and the general manager to our competitor and wouldn't give them to us. They were giving the best players to our competitor. They wouldn't give them to us. It was a crazy time. I'm not going to bore you with the details, but I got called, not by Snyder or the, you know, people at his level, but below, more in the sort of PR and communications area, I'll just say. And I got called into a conference call in which I got ripped up one side and down the other. And I said, well, you don't help us, number one. But number two, and I said to them, I said, you know, you should be less they were pissed that it was an ugly interview. It was anti-team, the whole thing. And how could somebody like me, who was an all-time great fan, I'm like, well, that's not my job here. I am a fan, no doubt. And I am a fan. But you got to be honest in this format or it'll never work. But I said to them, I said, you know, take this for what it's worth. But you should be more interested in why I'm less passionate about the team than what just happened having Mike Shanahan on the show. Why is someone who was a massive, lifelong, in the DNA fan, why do they feel differently about the team now? And that's what you should be focused on. Now, you guys can't be focused on it, but at some point, the owner should look himself in the mirror and say, why are some of the most passionate fans less passionate about the team? And to me, that's where Maryland is right now. This is a look in the mirror moment.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This is that moment in which, okay, what's happened has happened. All right? Let fans, you know, go nuts and call Willard names and threaten him. I mean, ironically, these are the same people in most cases that were calling for his head 2 months ago when he was 1-3. I mean, that's the nature of sports and sports fans. Like, Philadelphia Eagles fans wanted Sirianni fired. You know, I thought he was a dope. Eagles fans wanted him gone. He wins the Super Bowl. Not that Kevin Willard won the national championship, but he'd obviously turned the season around. But for those that are not familiar with this story, literally the fan base was screaming, "Fire this moron!" in early January, because he started 1-3 in the Big Ten. It was the wrong hire. You know, he can't win close games. He can't win on the road. We made a big mistake. Who's next? Who are we going to get next? Also, I would mention that many of the fans right now that are just up in arms over him leaving and the way he left, and it's more about the way he left, but they would have been up in arms had he just left without any mention of Villanova during the process. It's funny how also, so this is fandom. I get it. It's like, good luck, Villanova. You got a crappy coach. Really, then what are we so upset about that he's leaving? Anyway, they ripped him. They wanted him out in January. If he and Derek, if Derek Queen doesn't make that shot against Colorado State, they would have wanted him out. They would have been good riddance. Thanks. You can't win the big one. You can't even get us to the second weekend. But anyway, back to Maryland. You know, the adults, the people who are supposed to be the grown-ups, the adults, the people who kind of need and are required and have the responsibility of thinking, you know, logically, not emotionally, like good businesses do, and learn from what happened and then, you know, make the associated changes and be better for the next guy. Kevin may have left this place in a better stead for the new coach because it looks like the university finally, you know, gave him what he wanted. Let's hope they'll give the new guy what he wanted. What he brought to everybody's attention, you know, if the university, the athletic department, the new AD when they hire him, if they provide the next coach with what they appeared to have been, what they appeared to have been willing to provide Kevin Willard in terms of overall compensation, rev share dollars for hoops, and overall recognition that Maryland people care about basketball first and foremost. It's not that people dislike football. We'd love to be good in football. I was really pumped up, you know, not because they were contending for Big Ten titles or playoff berths, but I love the fact that Mike Locksley put together 3 straight 8-win seasons and bowl wins. I mean, you know, would I like to be a playoff team in football? Would love it. I've lived long enough to know what, you know, stirs the drink for Maryland sports fans. It's men's basketball, number one. And then as Coach Thompson would say, you count 5 spots till you get to whatever number 2 is. But the next coach at Maryland could end up being the beneficiary of what Kevin Willard ended up getting the university to understand and to commit to. Now, to me, right now, like, I'm in this situation, and those of you that have been involved in things other than just being a screamer, you start thinking about what the solutions are, because that's done. He gone. You have to recognize that he is your second consecutive good basketball coach that said, nah, this place isn't for me. Whatever the reasons are. The exit was messy. All of that's true. But at the core, it wasn't good enough for a good basketball coach. Maryland should not be a stepping stone program. It's look in the mirror time. It's let's get it right for the next guy. Let's make sure that whomever we hire isn't 3 or 4 years from now also wanting to get out. I can only tell you the reasons that I've heard and that you've read. You know, football is the revenue generator because they're in the Big Ten and there's this massive television deal. All right? And so, of course, and by the way, football's a more expensive product because there's a lot more players. So the lion's share of the rev share dollars are going to go towards football. Everybody understands that. Nobody's saying, oh, well, basketball should get all the money. Nobody's saying that. But what Kevin emphasized, brought to light for a lot of people, and clearly stirred up a hornet's nest out there, is that it's not enough. Not if you want to be here with a chance to go a couple of games further more consistently. So I hope it's out there much less about the way it just ended, because that's over, and about the solution, and about getting the next one right. So the next dude who can coach, Kevin Willard's a good coach, Mark Turgeon's a good coach, that they don't want out, and they don't see other places. Now, Mark hasn't gone back to coaching. He's had opportunities. He hasn't taken any. They love the area living here. But this should not be a stepping stone to Villanova. I was wrong when I first said, when this first came about and the rumors were out there that Villanova had Kevin Willard on their short list, that Maryland was a better basketball school or a better job than Villanova. And I did say, just slightly, because of it being in the Big Ten. I said the Big East has instability. The Big Ten is, along with the SEC, super stable. And because of that, now it's a better job. I was wrong. It wasn't. But it needs to be from this point forward. Couple of things to add to this. Number one is that, I want to make sure that I emphasize that I think this is true, but I don't know it for sure. It's been reported out there, but I don't know for sure. I haven't heard it from anybody at the university. And that is that Kevin Willard's buyout was like between $1.5 million and $2 million. That is if true, that is a horribly negotiated contract with Kevin Willard on the front end. He has 4 years left on his deal. He had 4 years left on his deal. What I've been told by multiple people in athletic departments is that on average, if you've got 4 years left on your deal and you're getting paid close to $4 million a year, the buyout should be between $4 and $5 million. If the buyout had been between $4 and $5 million, probably none of this of the last couple of weeks happens, because the buyout's too costly. I'm not about to suggest about specific to anybody, whether it's the athletic director, whether or not it's a CFO, or whether or not it's the search firm. But if that's true, that was not smart in the way they built his contract. They made it very easy for him to get plucked. Can't do that. These are the things you need to learn from. Everything needs to be sharper. Got to have some sharper tools in the tool shed moving forward. And much more of a recognition, for whatever reason, they're saying out there, well, I didn't know that basketball was what our fans care about the most. I'm not saying everybody. There are plenty of people that understand that out there. But in terms of the ultimate decision makers, hopefully now they understand that it's a popular product, and it can be even more popular if supported in the right way. You've lost two coaches back-to-back who said Maryland wasn't good enough. So learn from it. Create solutions. Be better next time. Doesn't change the fact that the exit was messy. Both things are true. We do have a guest coming up on the show. John Talty writes for CBSSports.com. He actually wrote a lot of detail about the Kevin Willard exit. He also covers college hoops for CBSSports.com. And there were some pretty good games since we last left you. Friday night, the Purdue-Houston game, Denton, was great. I actually really thought that even though we didn't have a competitive game yesterday, watching Houston's defense in that game against Tennessee, it reminded me a bit of the Baylor National Championship team, like just flat-out grown men. And remember what they did to Gonzaga in the final? I have a feeling that's a possibility against Duke. And then Auburn beating Michigan State, I mean, had an all-time moment with Jani Broome coming, out of the tunnel, Willis Reed style, after being injured, a shoulder. And the first touch, he knocks down a three. That game never got close enough for it to be considered a really good game. But I thought the level of play was really, really high end. When you consider the way both teams defended, the way both teams rebounded, the way both teams run half court offense, that was actually a phenomenal basketball game to watch. Two really good teams, well coached. I liked Michigan State going into the game yesterday, but Auburn really was outstanding. And now we get Auburn, Florida, and we get Duke, Houston. That Duke, Houston game, I have, not that Duke is as finesse as Gonzaga was, but I remember Denton before that final. I had Baylor for the maximum allowed because I thought that they were men and Gonzaga had college students playing for their team. And it was a beatdown. And I think Houston has that ability. And remember what the questions were about them much of the year? Can they score? How about their three-point shooting ability? I like that. I love Kelvin Sampson. The game against Purdue the other night, how about that game-winning play? Although they should have never had the opportunity to do it. They missed an obvious offensive foul on Houston on the last possession with the game tied. Purdue was brilliant in that game to hang in there because they were not as good talent-wise. So we'll have time this week to talk about the Final Four in more detail. Looking forward to it. I mean, four ones, two really good matchups, two rather short point spreads. I think right now Florida is actually favored over Auburn. They're a 2.5-point favorite, and I think Duke is a 4-point favorite over Houston. What was that Baylor-Gonzaga line? Do you remember it from the championship game?
I do not remember it. It was. I think it was shorter.
I had Baylor. I know that.
Yeah, but I think it was shorter than we thought. Let me see if I can find that Baylor Gonzaga.
I can go back and find it too. Was that? That wasn't COVID, was it?
Was that the first year after COVID? 21. First one back from it.
It was the first one back.
Yeah.
I got it right here. Gonzaga was a 4.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I was going to say Baylor was not the favorite in that one.
Yeah, Gonzaga was favored by 4.5. Duke right now favored by 4.5 over Houston. Do you see what I see, like grown men versus younger college kids? Not that Cooper Flagg isn't totally capable.
I think Duke is super locked in.
I think they are too, because there's Swiss Houston.
I think Houston is, but Houston has this weird tendency. They did not have it against Tennessee. But they've had this weird tendency to let teams get back into games. The thing I've noticed about Duke is once they get on top of you, you're not getting back in. Like, they are just too good. They're too talented. They're not going to let you get back into the ballgame.
And did you know about this other tournament that's going on right now that GW and Georgetown are in tonight?
The Crown? I thought it was a Netflix show.
Somebody mentioned to me yesterday that, are you going to watch The Crown? I said, my wife watches it. I'm not into it. Why? Is it really good? No. These are a couple of my Villanova friends that I was with. They said, Nova's in The Crown. I'm like, what are you talking about? There is a 16-team event out in Vegas. Four games tonight, four games tomorrow night. Then you go to quarterfinals, semifinals, final. GW's playing Boise today at 5:30, and Georgetown's playing Washington State tonight at 11. Go get him, Ed Cooley. Go win the crown.
Next year will be called Baby Year.
All the games are in Vegas. All right, this guy John Talty from CBS Sports next.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
So certainly a lot of activity as it relates to the Maryland program over the last week and the last few days in particular. And we also have a Final Four. That is set. Later on in the show, we will talk football. Ben's down at the owners' meetings. He'll join us at 12, and Adam Peters is scheduled to speak, and he will do that, and we'll try to have a lot of that sound for you before the end of the show. Joining me, though, right now is John Talty, at J Talty, T-A-L-T-Y, on X on Twitter. He's a national college sports reporter for CBS Sports and for 24/7 Sports. And he's a best-selling Wall Street Journal author. Most recent book, The Price, with Armin Katayan, who we had on the show last year, who was excellent. John joins us right now. And John did write about the exit, the Kevin Willard exit. By the way, I have to say, in some somebody texted me after sending me this. Barry Gossett, who is, you know, a legendary figure at the University of Maryland. We have seen him in press release quotes. I don't think I've ever seen this kind of quote from him, but you got it. He essentially said, quote, "He played us like a drum. As far as I'm concerned with Kevin leaving, it was just chaos," closed quote. I don't think I've ever seen him quoted other than in a press release about some sort of big building going up.
Yeah, Barry was upset, and you know, I had talked to Barry for the book that you mentioned, The Price, you know, more about football stuff. But when I called him, you know, he was certainly frustrated, and he told me, he's like, "Yeah, I've had a lot of people calling me. I think in the lead up to whether Kevin was going to stay or go, didn't want to talk. And I think, you know, when I got him yesterday, I think a certain level of frustration was there for him, where he was upset over how it got handled. And I think that, you know, Barry's reaction is not unique right now for the fan base. I think there's a lot of Maryland fans that are upset over how this played out. And I think a big part of this, and you obviously know this, Kevin, is that, you know, Maryland basketball has been kind of been in the wilderness for a bit. You know, it's close to a decade since the last time they were in the Sweet 16. The last time they were there, you know, ended up losing pretty badly to Kansas. They've been waiting for a while for a team to really feel good about, be excited about, and they finally have it, this fun Crab 5 team. And, you know, they've really had, what, 12 hours to enjoy probably the shot of the tournament, Derek Queen, before all the Villanova stuff really started cranking up again. And so I think that's part of where the frustration and, upset feelings comes with, is that they feel like Kevin Willard kind of stole a moment away from them.
Yeah, the exit was incredibly messy and was not handled well at all. The irony, and I talked about this, you know, on Friday a little bit in the open to the show, is that a lot of those same people were screaming for his head in early January. I mean, that's the nature of college fan bases. But, you know, there were threads on, you know, who are we going to get next when they were 1-3 in the Big Ten. But beyond that, you had some really good stuff in your story about this not just becoming a recent thing, that this has been on the mind of Kevin Willard for a while. Share some of that with everybody.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as you know, Kevin, I think Kevin Willard, you know, there were some, you know, bumps along the way in his transition to the Big Ten, a guy who coached in the Big East for 12 years at Seton Hall, you know, previously before that. Of course, with Rick Pitino at Louisville, I think understood a certain way of how things were done, just not only from the, like, the travel and the scheduling parts, which, you know, Kevin was frustrated with at the Big Ten, and I think, you know, that came out at times this past season, upset at some of the late night games, the travel, you know, the off days, the not off days. But I also think that, you know, in the Big East, it's very clear what the priority is, and, you know, that was the case at Seton Hall. That will certainly be the case at Villanova, and I think there was some frustration along the way for Kevin, you know, with athletic director Damon Evans, with interim athletic director now Colleen Sorum, about just not getting the resources that he wanted, that he felt like at a quote-unquote basketball school like Maryland should get, the ones that he got at Seton Hall and other places. And so I think it's been building for a while. I think that, you know, again, the timing of it, I think is tough. And to your point earlier, if you told Maryland fans, you know, you're going to end up in a Sweet 16, I think they all would have taken it. And if you, at the beginning of the season, if you said, at the end of the season, Kevin Willard's going to be gone, I think a lot of fans would have taken that too. But the fact that both happened, I think, is that the thing that nobody really could have imagined happening.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned a name, Colleen Sorum, Deputy AD. It's a name that I think with a lot of people has circled a lot here over the last week and a half. Obviously, there have been frustrations now with multiple coaches in a row. And I talked a little bit about that, John. I said, look, Maryland's in a look in the mirror moment here, because what's done is done. But two good coaches have now essentially won it out. And that is, you know, a time to say, what are we not doing here to keep good coaches? And I think maybe Kevin, you know, told them specifically what it was. And it sounds like they bellied up to the bar with what he wanted, which, you know, makes the exit even more messy, obviously. But just, you know, some of the frustrations, Damon Evans and beyond, can you speak to those?
Yeah, well, I would push back a little bit on Mark Turgeon being a good coach. I think he was okay.
Well, that's I think he was. Yeah, we can agree to disagree. I think he was a good coach.
Yeah, I mean, he had his moments. I think he ultimately didn't meet that expectations. But we can move on.
He didn't do
that.
It in March. Think, that's 100% true.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I think when you live through the Gary Williams era, you hope that there are deep March runs, and I think you hope that the coach is going to get the absolute most out of their guys. But, you know, yeah, I think that, you know, Kevin Willard wanted more resources, and Maryland was willing to give them. As I reported in my story, they were willing to give him about $4.5 million in rev share even before he went public with his complaints, which would put them, from what I've been told, at number two in the Big Ten. You know, I'm in SEC country in Birmingham. Why the SEC schools are not going to be giving their basketball teams $4.5 million? So he was getting a good cut even before he laid out those very public complaints. I've been told that they bumped it up even higher than that in their negotiations. So they were willing to give him a good cut. I think the hope, if you're a Maryland fan, is that they're willing to do that for the next guy, and that, you know, that the kind of frustrations that played out publicly, that everyone's upset about, that whoever the next AD is, that they realize basketball is important, that we have to give them the necessary resources to succeed, and that hopefully President Daryl Pines also realizes that, that here's a guy in Kevin Willard that we wanted to keep, and he chose to leave for another school despite our best efforts to keep him. What does that mean for us? What do we need to do moving forward? And I think that they realize that and are ready to give that next person the resources necessary to compete at the highest levels.
We're talking with John Talty from CBSSports.com. Real quickly, just so everybody has an understanding of how it works now, explain the difference between what we're about to get with RevShare and NIL.
Yeah, I mean, the big difference is that one is school-funded and one has been, you know, fan and business-funded. So, you know, if things go as planned next week, April 7th, the House versus NCAA settlement should be approved. That'll set up for this summer for schools to directly pay athletes. You know, it's going to be $20.5 million is the number we've been told. That's going to be spread out throughout the athletic department. The majority of that is expected to go to football if you have a football program. So in that probably $12 to $15 million range for football. Basketball, a lot more, going to be 2 to 4. You got women's basketball, baseball, you know, other different sports. To this point, it's been all donor-driven. And so that's, I think, part of where Maryland needs to look in the mirror is that Maryland has never been the greatest when it comes to donors. There's some really high-level ones. Barry Gossett, you mentioned earlier, has funded a lot of things over the years. Harvey Sanders, Kevin Plank, you know, I quoted Harry Geller. Harry did a great job with the NIL collective. But I think there's a need for more money. And I think if you can combine that, say, $4.5 million in rev share plus maybe an extra $2 million or so on top in NIL through businesses and donors and things like that, you know, that gives you a really good budget. That'll give them more than they've had, about double than what they had this past year, which you need to keep up with the rising costs, but also to put you in that, you know, top 15 or so in terms of what basketball programs are spending on their rosters.
You know, the $20.5 million number, that's like a salary cap, you know, high, right, that you can spend and you can divvy up among your athletic department. But it doesn't mean that you get to that top line number. Like, you know, we're talking about Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, and I don't know what other conference schools that'll have that much to spend. Not every – the Big East won't have that amount to spend, as an example.
Correct. I mean – yeah, exactly. And so, and there was questions even about whether some of the Power Four schools might not go all the way opting into
right.
20.5. And there's some, I think Houston's one of them that I think that said they were not going full 20.5. So you can be in the Power Four and still not spend it. And of course, yeah, if you could be, you know, I'll make up one. You can be Ball State and say, we're opting in, but we're just going to do $1 million of that number. But schools like Maryland, you know, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State, they're going to spend that full 20.5. And here's the other thing to keep in mind moving forward. Like the NBA, like the NFL, that number is going to go up as time goes on. As more revenue comes in, that number will increase. So 20.5 is the number now, but in the future, that number will be even higher. And that's what, you know, athletic directors, you know, like the outgoing Damon Evans, that's what they have to think about, knowing that this number is going to keep going up, and we got to find ways to either bring in more revenue and or find ways to cut some expenses. And, you know, I think that's where some of Kevin Willard's frustration came from, that certain things that he thought should be, you know, obvious yeses were being told no.
Somebody not with Maryland or on the Willard side mentioned to me over the weekend that one of the biggest untold stories about this saga is Willard's very low buyout number of, I guess, we've seen some reports that it was between $1.5 million and $2 million. What do you know about that? And I was told that it should have been much higher, that was not a well done deal from the jump, that if it had been higher, it probably would have prevented any of this from happening. What do you say?
Yeah. I mean, I think that number is low, and I can tell you just from some past examples, for instance, Nate Oates at Alabama had a very high buyout, and that ultimately blocked Kentucky from hiring him. You know, we've seen that in past times. Chris Beard, you know, I can remember multiple times over the years where, hey, we really want this guy, but he's got an $8 million or $10 million buyout. We're not touching that. Kevin's was very low, and, you know, that's maybe a credit to the negotiating brilliance of the one and only Jimmy Sexton for getting the deal that he got. And, you know, he now works closely with Evan Daniels, who does a great job too. But that number easily could have been higher. And, yeah, if it's, say, $7 million, for a school to buy them out in this current rev share era, is Villanova doing that? I don't know that they are, but when it's 1.5, 2 million, I think it's 2 million as of right now, that's a lot more doable, a lot more swallowable than a $7, $8, $10 million buyout that some of these other coaches have. So
who's supposed to help the school with that part of the contract? Is it the search firm? Is it the AD? Is it a CFO? Is it a legal person? Whose job is it to make sure when you sign a 7-year deal with your new basketball coach that the buyout clause is commensurate with other, you know, college jobs that have, you know, already set the standard of what it should be?
Kevin, we could talk all day about how schools have been absolutely owned by agents over the last probably 10, 15 years in these negotiations. It seems like they get whatever they want more often than not. You know, sometimes it's a general counsel who is just usually not adept at negotiating across the table from Jimmy Sexton or some of these other guys. Sometimes it's an AD. I think for this one, you know, both Damon Evans and Colleen Sorum were involved in negotiations, and I know that there was actually some friction in the back and forth between Maryland and, you know, Kevin Willard's representatives going back and forth. Certainly looks like Willard did pretty well in that department in terms of the money that he got, which was, you know, I think pretty high up, and then also, of course, you know, the buyout number. So, yeah, it's a battle that I think a lot of schools lose because they just don't feel like either they have the skills and or they feel like they're losing the leverage battle where these agents can kind of demand whatever they want. It's either take it or leave it, or we're going to take my guy elsewhere. And that, you know, a lot of schools end up on the losing side of that.
We're talking to John Talty from CBSSports.com. All right. Really messy exit, and the timing couldn't be worse. What does Maryland do?
Got to get someone who I think wants to be there, who understands the evolving environment, can capitalize on, you know, whether it's rev share, NIL. I think that one thing that we're going to see moving forward as it becomes, you know, more and more money driven, I think the X's and O's guys are going to, you know, really rise to the top. I think, you know, you still need to recruit well. You still need guys who can bring in talent. But I think as it becomes more professional, the guys who really have that X's and O's edge, I think are the ones or who are going to, you know, really win more often than not the way we see in the NBA. So if I'm Maryland, I know it's the hot stand name, but Luke Murray does make a lot of sense to me. We know he's an X's and O's guy. He's done some brilliant things offensively for Dan Hurley at UConn. Do you take a swing? Do you give him a huge rev share number and say, hey, you've got the money to work with. Do what you do as a coach. Let's see if we can make a run. I think Maryland has to take a swing here and try to do something a little different just because the timing is so bad that maybe some of the names you could have gotten 2 weeks ago, either already at other schools, like Nika Medved, I think would have been a great name in that regard, or the guys just don't want to move at this point because the portal's going and their team's already coming together. So the pool's going to be a little smaller than it could have been a couple weeks ago, which is why I think Maryland needs to be creative, think outside the box, look at guys who might have an incredible offensive, you know, play-calling style to kind of get Maryland to be unique, to be different beyond what they've been in the past.
Tell everybody about Luke Murray. How long's he been at UConn with Dan Hurley? Was he at Rhode Island before that with Hurley? Does he get a lot of credit for what I would call one of the best offensive X's and O's coaching staffs that we've seen in recent years? Just a little bit more about Luke Murray.
Yeah, and he, you know, before that he was with Chris Mack at Xavier and was a part of those teams that. Yep. Were really good. But yeah, I mean, I can remember, as I'm sure you do, Kevin, like Danny Hurley's offense used to be kind of ugly, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember Maryland beating UConn
Rhode
a few
Island.
Years back. Yeah, and Rhode Island. I mean, it's just like they were not very pretty offenses. And then you look at what
Mark
it is
Turgeon
now,
beat him in the tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and Hurley was like, there are times where I think the way maybe Maryland fans talked about Kevin Willard, people were talking about Dan Hurley of, you know, what. Is this guy going to be able to win at the big level?
Right.
Sorry, I got an ambulance by me here.
Right.
But is he going to be able to win at the level? And I think Murray made a big impact on that. He is a guy who we all know he's Bill Murray's son. So that's a fun little side factor having Bill Murray courtside at Maryland games. But you know, he's someone who has done a lot. Hurley has given him a lot of credit for how they've evolved that offense. Of course, the amount of talent that UConn's had over the last couple of years helps. But he's been with Hurley at multiple stops. And clearly Hurley really trusts him. And from everything I've heard, you know, He's waiting for a good opportunity. I can liken it back in some ways to, you know, Kirby Smart when he was at Alabama with Nick Saban. He wasn't right. going to jump for any job. He ended up waiting to jump for the right job. Goes to Georgia. We know what he's done there. I think that could be Luke Murray, you know, at least from what we've seen of him. You never know how that transition from a top assistant to head coach is going to go. But he has all the makings of a guy who I think could be really successful. And, again, if you want to take a shot and do something different, what about the guy who has helped, you know, really revamp what is now, I think, the best offense in college basketball.
Anybody else? Any other names that you think are going to be in play?
Yeah, I mean, the Buzz Williams stuff's been everywhere, and I think that's been very much driven by his side of things. So there's a newer AD there in Trev Alberts. It doesn't seem like he's getting a contract extension. It seems like he is certainly trying to find a exit ramp out, and he's been pushing pretty hard, from my understanding, behind the scenes. That's one of them. I think, you know, Vanderbilt, Mark Byington is a name that's been bouncing around. He's only been at Vandy for a year. It's hard to move after only a year, but he's another guy who, from an offensive efficiency standpoint, really high up. did a good job at James Madison. You've got the local guys like Tony Skin, former Willard assistant, did a good job from a recruiting standpoint, has done well locally, George Mason. So there's going to be some different names. And, you know, you never know. There might be a surprise name. It's still pretty early on in the process. But you know, to the point you made earlier, with the transfer portal already rolling right now, you know, time is of the essence. I think that by midweek or so, you really need to have a good sense of who you have a shot at to try to hold on to not only the roster you have right now, guys like Rodney Rice and Kobe Gillespie, but also trying to attract talent. It didn't seem like Maryland's really been involved with anybody in the portal so far, and that's going to put them really behind the eight ball for next year if they can't make moves soon.
What's Beard's buyout number, do you know?
Pretty high, I think. He was one of the ones that I was thinking of as you asked that question. I can't tell you offhand, but I think it's pretty high. And he's already one of the highest paid, you know, coaches in America. And so he's one that, you know, I think the Maryland fans that I've talked to would all, you know, a lot of them would like Chris Beard. I was in the Atlanta Regional, and Ole Miss went absolutely toe-to-toe with Michigan State. He's an incredible coach. He's going to get a bigger job at some point soon. No knock on Ole Miss. But, you know, I think that's one that could be cost prohibitive for Maryland. We haven't seen them willing to really go and spend huge numbers to coach Steele in the past when the past coaching search, you know, guys like Bruce Pearl, Nate Oates, Eric Musselman were all mentioned. Felt like Maryland was never really willing to get up to that $5-6 million number at that point. They were for Kevin Willard from what I was told. So maybe if Kevin Beard, they're willing to throw major money at it. But that would go against type from what they've done in the past.
John, great job. Really appreciate the time.
Thanks, Kevin. Appreciate you.
John Talty, everybody from CBSSports.com. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.